Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. The Bible says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. We thank you for the fact that you have proven yourself time and time again to be a faithful God. Lord, I pray that you would use your word as you've done so many times to strengthen our hearts, to challenge us, to teach us, and to guide us into your will. Thank you once again for the privilege we've had to be in your house tonight. Use your word as only you can to accomplish your will and purpose. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. When embarking on what is considered to be a difficult task, it is so critical and vitally important that one has the right mindset. Because the right mindset helps you to be able to face challenges and not give up in the process. A few weeks ago, I started, which is not the first time that I've started or endeavored, to begin teaching my children piano after they've begged for quite some time and trying to fit it into my schedule. But after a short few lessons, I've come to the conclusion that oftentimes individuals, which my children happen to be the one in this case, not to put them on the spot, but I guess that's what happens when you're pastor's children, they end up wanting the end result without wanting to embrace the painstaking process of practicing and going through those seemingly, numbingly boring scales and songs that don't really make you feel like you are a pianist. But they're absolutely necessary and critical before you can, as they say, race up and down the piano. It's just a part of human nature that we often want the crown, without the cross. We want the glory without the guts. We want the weight loss to happen with a magic pill, but can you let it be without having to do any difficult exercise? Those stomach crunches, those jumping jacks, those bicep curls. Why? Why do I have to go through all this stuff? It's just too hard. Can you give me something a little easier? As we have looked at the book of Philippians, and particularly the last few verses, I described what I call an admirable pursuit that was engaged in by the Apostle Paul. And this admirable pursuit was that he wanted to win Christ, as he describes it in verse number 8. He says, I doantless count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but dung that I might win Christ. He had this admirable pursuit. But in this pursuit, we were able to take a few weeks and actually examine his mindset. What was his mindset in being able to pursue this endeavor? Recognize that he had this unusual perspective. He counted things that we would have considered great achievements and accolades. He counted them as loss. An unusual perspective. This brilliant resume from a world perspective, Paul says, I count it as dung. He had an unparalleled priority. We saw what was truly important to him. Last week, we saw his undeserved position. He says, I'm found in him. And because he took such great pleasure in the fact that he found himself in this privileged position, he had the correct mindset to be able to engage in this admirable pursuit. He recognized that, listen, this, in order to be able to find myself in Christ, I couldn't do it on my own. It was unattainable from a personal perspective. But he recognized in verse, latter part of verse 9, that in order for me to be found in him, it's going to require an unadulterated provision. What is that unadulterated provision? That of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Paul had the right mindset. But tonight we want to go a step further, and we want to look not only at his mindset, but his motivation. His motivation. What is it that kept the Apostle Paul going when things got tough? It's all well and good to have great plans and great goals, but oftentimes we get tripped up when some challenges hit us in the face. What was his motivation? We want to examine verse 9, 10 and 11 rather, as we take a deep look into his motivation. What is it that kept him going? Paul was a man that kept going in spite of inconceivable odds, being stoned, being shipwrecked, among so many other trials and tribulations. He had sincere motivation. What is it that fueled that kind of motivation? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 10, Paul had a single-minded passion. A single-minded passion. Look at verse number 10. It says, that I may know him. That I may know him. The very important word in that phrase is the simple personal pronoun, I. I. Paul says, this is what I am doing. It's not affected by what you think. It's not affected by your opinion. It's not affected by your feelings. It's not affected by your thoughts. He says that I may know him. It's an individual desire. If you and I are going to serve God, it's going to be because we began some sentences with the word I. I, not we or us or they, it's going to be I will. Amen. Paul says that I may know him. He says there's a quest for knowledge, a thirst for information, a thirst for understanding, that I might know him. The object of his passion was none other than Jesus Christ himself. He says, I want to know him. I want to know him in a greater way. I know some things about him, but that's not enough. I can't plateau in my knowledge for Jesus Christ. You know, when a guy or a young man sees a young girl, or a guy sees a girl, and he's interested in her, somehow some wheels start turning. And he begins to try to craft his strategy as to how is he going to approach her? How is he going to get a chance to talk to her? Because the goal is, after I've seen her, or he's seen her and he's recognized that he's interested, he wants to get to know her more. And oftentimes, if that feeling is strong enough, he does not care what you think. He does not care whether your opinion is she's not all that, Whether your opinion is, oh no, I don't like. No, he is motivated by his desire to know her more. Right, men? Wow, that was real weak. He would spend his last dollar because he wants to know her more. Here's a little tip. That ought to continue after you get married. Amen? Why? Because as much as you think you know her, when you get married, it's time to enroll in school. Because you thought you knew a whole lot of things, then you realize you're back into kindergarten. Why? Because the quest for knowing her has only just begun. Wow. Paul said, knowing Christ more is my passion. He says that I might know him. It was a single-minded passion. He was not distracted by his resume. He was not distracted by his accolades and his achievements. It was a single-minded passion. He says that I might know him. But I want you to notice not only his single-minded passion, but I want you to notice the avenue by which he wanted to know. He says, I want to know him through his supernatural power. Look at verse 10. He says that I might know him and the what? And the power of his resurrection. There's no greater demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ than when he got up on that resurrection morning. Amen. Paul says when he got up from the grave, he conquered death and sin and the grave. I want to experience that supernatural power in my life. You say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but that sounds a little extreme. But you know why it's not extreme? Paul recognized something. He says, if you look back at verse number 9, he says, and be found in who? In him. Paul says, since I'm found in him, why shouldn't I be able to experience the power of his resurrection? After all, I'm in Christ. But he recognized that if I'm going to experience this power, I'm going to have to get to know him in a very intimate way. I'll give this tip as well for those who are not married. And for those who are married, I hope you agree with me because it is absolutely true that the more you know someone and the more you get to know someone, the more you become like them. That could be good news and it could be bad news all at the same time. And that is why, for those who are not married, be very careful who you marry. Because you literally, over a period of time, you begin to think like them. You begin to talk like them. It is even said that after several decades, you begin to look like them. By the way, this really only works when you weave your lives together with that person. Because if you only know each other on the surface, you become out of touch and out of tune with each other. You know, so many people want to experience God's power upon their lives without getting to know him in an intimate way. It is not going to happen. God's power manifests itself in our lives when we understand his heart, when we understand his mind, when we understand his will. And as we arrange our lives around his will and fulfill his purpose in our lives, God says, I'm going to furnish you with the power that comes from me to get the job done. You know, if you think of the example of an employee in the workplace or in a job, that employee is given more authority. He's given a larger budget to manage as he or she shows a commitment and an understanding of the company's or institution's vision. That is because the ownership must be confident that the resources committed to that individual will be used in a way that is consistent with the company's mission. Paul understood that if he was going to experience the apex of God's power in his life, it was going to be the result of knowing him in a special way. Paul says, I want the supernatural power of God upon my life. But it's not going to happen until I know God in a special way. When I understand his heart, his mind, his will, his purpose, and then God gives me and furnishes that power upon my life. He says, I want to know him. Do you have that desire to know him in such a way? He says, I want to experience his supernatural power, his triumphs. But he noticed as well that he says, I can't experience the triumphs without the tribulations. Hence, Paul recognized that as much as I want the supernatural power, I must be willing to embrace, and get this, the suffering process. Look at verse number 10. He says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And this is the hard part. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul says, not only do I want the triumphs, but I want the tribulations. That's where it gets difficult, doesn't it? Paul says, I don't want just the good experiences, but I want the bad ones as well. Paul definitely was not like the average Christian today. Everybody wants the blessings, but how many people want the burdens? Everybody wants the successes, but how many people want the sufferings? Paul wanted both because he knew that that they were the flip side of the same coin. He wanted to know Christ. If you think about it, the power of the resurrection could not be experienced without Jesus Christ having suffered and bled on the cross first. I'll give you an analogy. We have so many people today, sadly, when it comes to this institution of marriage, that it appears as if their vows have only one side. One side. Their vows, by their actions after they have made these vows, effectively sound something like this. I, John, take thee, Jane, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold. From this day forward, for better, but definitely not for worse. For richer, but absolutely not for poorer. Not in sickness, but in health. To love and to cherish, until I'm not feeling the tingling feelings anymore, according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge myself to you. It requires both sides. You know, marriage is an awesome thing. Amen? Amen. Marriage is an awesome thing. Amen? Amen. But in order to weave together as one, you're going to have to work through those traits. And let me caution the engaged and the aspiring to be engaged ones. You're going to have to work through some traits and some qualities, I use that word guardedly, in the other person that are going to cause you to have to suffer. That's not the good news that everybody wants to hear. Amen? Amen? How many of you know that there is some suffering in marriage? Amen. Oh, boy, it gets real quiet in here. You see the people who are honest? There is some suffering in marriage. And everybody says, thank God I don't want to get married at all. But I'm not saying that to scare you away. Marriage is a wonderful thing, even with the whatever suffering is there. You say, Pastor, give me some examples of how you're going to suffer. Let me give you a little clue. You're going to have to suffer because sometimes you're going to have to give up your rights. Sometimes you're going to have to take wrong even when you are right. That sounds strange to anybody? That's just a part of being married. But let me give you the good news. The good news is that the result is a beautiful product of getting to know that person in a way like no other relationship on earth allows. Amen? The good goes with the bad. The suffering goes with the successes. And when both of these things are woven together, it is a beautiful thing. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know his supernatural power. But I also recognize, I want to know the suffering process, the fellowship of his suffering. He says, I can't have one without the other and expect to know Christ. Why? Because as much as he demonstrated his supernatural power on that resurrection morning, he suffered before that like no other had ever suffered. So how am I going to know him and wanting to divorce myself from any kind of suffering? He says, I can't truly know him. I can't truly know him without suffering myself. And that's the part of the Christian life that we don't want to hear about. That's the part we don't want to embrace. But Paul says, I have such a desire and a passion to know him. I'm willing to embrace the suffering process. Why? Because my desire is to know him. Paul's motivation was built on a single-minded passion. He had a desire for the supernatural power, the suffering process. But I want you to notice finally tonight, the sincerity for his position. The sincerity for his position. You know, sometimes in life we can talk a good game, but when it comes to the actions, we are lacking. But Paul said, I am so sincere in my desire to know him. Look at what he says in verse number 11. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Here's what Paul was simply saying. Paul says, I am so persuaded and motivated in my desire to know Christ that I am willing to die so that I can experience the power of his resurrection myself. That's what he was saying. He says, I'm willing to die so that somehow, just the same way that Jesus got up from that grave after 3 days, that I can experience that in my body and in my life and I'll be raised again. That's how much I want to know Jesus and identify with exactly what he went through. Amazing. How much do you want to know Christ? When we suffer, do we think, wow, this doesn't feel good, but here's the good news. I get to identify with what Jesus went through. Even though our suffering could never equal what he experienced. That perspective puts a different slant on suffering, doesn't it? When somebody tells a lie on you, are you all bent out of shape? How could they tell a lie on me? How about thinking, wow, now I understand how Jesus felt when they lied on him. When someone cheats on you, as much as that feels terrible, Do we take time to stop and think how many times did individuals promise Jesus to do this and that and left him and abandoned him? No, Jesus, I know what it felt like for you as you suffered in agony in that Garden of Gethsemane. No, I understand why it were, as it were, sweats, as it were, drops of blood. You were in such pain, knowing what you would face. As you were on that cross, suffering and bleeding, not only from the pain of the nails and the crown of thorns upon your head, but the fact that your closest friends left you to bleed and die on a cross all alone. I can understand what it meant in a better way to suffer. When we embrace that mindset, you know what it does? It helps us to love Jesus even more. It helps us to appreciate what he went through. Jesus, I understand in just a little better what you endured for me. And as a result, I want to serve you in a greater capacity. And as I serve you in a greater capacity, even as I'm suffering, here's what miraculously takes place. We begin to respond more like Jesus responded. And as he was there, hung in space, suspended in between the heavens and the earth, suffering like no other man suffered. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The more we get to know him, the more we become like him. And as we suffer, we actually embrace the suffering because we're being conformed to the image of his son. And here's something else that happens as we identify more with Jesus Christ. The supernatural power from God shows up in our lives to help us to accomplish what he desires to do. Paul says, I'm not going to become more like him without the triumphs and the tribulations. Without the supernatural power and the suffering process. Paul says, I so badly want to know him. Give me all of it. Every bit of it. He says that I might know him. How much do we really want to know Christ? Do we want to just know about him? Do we want to just have a casual association with him? But do we really want to know him in an intimate way? A way that says, God, help me become more like you. Help me to experience your amazing power upon my life. But help me as well to embrace the fact that even before you manifested and demonstrated that power upon your life, you suffered as no man ever suffered. Quite a perspective. But no wonder the Apostle Paul could continue going on, even in prison. They could not do anything to quench his passion. They couldn't do anything to dim his fire. Why? Because he had a perspective. I want to know him. And knowing him involved the good and the bad, the triumphs and the trials, the successes and the suffering. But the end result, Paul says, that I might know him. What a pursuit. And I trust that, as we heard this morning in the message, as we engage in this life and we face tribulations and difficulties, as we buckle up our seatbelts expecting some difficulties, that we can face them with a perspective that says, you know what? This doesn't feel good right now. But if there is one positive that comes out of it, I am getting to know him better. I'm getting to understand what he went through in just a little way. And as I understand it, I gain a greater appreciation for him. I begin to love him more. I begin to appreciate him more. I begin to embrace his suffering. I begin to embrace his power. And God works in an amazing way, which is his ultimate will, to conform us to the image of his Son. And I trust that God helps us. Because when that happens, amazing transformations take place. And as we are molded into the image of his Son, a lost and dying world looks at us and say, wow, how could they go through that and still have the joy of the Lord? How can they go through that and still be serving God with such passion and such drive and such motivation? It's supernatural. It absolutely is. Why? Because we're not doing it in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord.